they're actually like little etudes. Each one kind of highlights a technical difficulty or problem, sort of the way the Chopin etudes do. Like they take something and he really keeps hammering away at it, and you know, and it becomes a kind of etude and a sort of obsessiveness in its own right. The first one is dedicated to John Cage, and it's called Cage, and it's a shimmering tremolando. That's basically a very simple two-voiced chorale, but it gets displaced by octaves and goes to the outer reaches of the piano and then back and forth. And so the cage is actually the limits of the piano. That's what he means by cage. And but the thing that's so funny about it is it's such a continuous piece and it's so shimmering. And you end up being aware of textures, like how a C and an E flat would sound so different if they were only a minor third apart, as opposed to being three octaves plus a minor third apart, which both things occur in the piece. And you know, you're really aware of the difference of textures, and I think that's a very Cagean idea, that you end up noticing sort of the ambiance of the area, even though you're listening to really what's a chorale. So I think it's kind of very Cagean, and he says that it's his John Cage piece. The second one is called Diet Coke, and it's an in memoriam to his manager named Betty Snap, who I also knew, and who was a really very bright, bubbly person. But actually the name Diet Coke comes about because at the end of her life, it was the only thing she could consume, the only thing she could stand to eat. It was also the only thing that was not going into her body intravenously, strangely enough, even though I think probably she felt that the real intravenous consumption she was making was the Diet Coke. And the piece is very bright and bubbly, and also very difficult to play, very fast. The third piece is dedicated to an artist, a visual artist David knew, someone I didn't know, named Kate Erickson. That piece is entitled Wed, and he gave it that title because she got married on her deathbed. She had a brain tumor. And so the piece is really this amazing combination of pathos and beautiful joy, and it's also got these polyrhythms. The technical conceit of the piece is polyrhythms, but there's a certain way you have to kind of touch the keys in a way, but not touch them. It's almost like the piano has to play itself for it to work. And I find I can't practice this piece too much. It gets me too sad. And then the fourth piece is called Grind, and it's dedicated to Jacob Bruckman, who was one of his composition teachers and mentor. And he's somebody I knew a bit and liked very much. And the piece is an extremely angry piece. It's five against four, five notes in the time of four quarters. So the left hand is hammering out four quarter notes, and the right hand is hammering out quintuplet. And it's extremely angry and relentless, and it has to do with an encounter they had once where David had said something kind of flip to some people that he felt had said something stupid. And Druckmann had taken him aside and sort of given him his lecture on life, basically, which was how, well, to put it in 25 words or less, how one has to treat people with care, people who unfortunately are controlling your life, that you have to learn to treat them with care and respect, even if you don't respect them in some ways, and feel that they value the same things you value, or whatever. And I think that Druckmann had been very angry just because it was a subject near and dear to him. It was something he had thought about a lot, and obviously it hit a nerve, and he cared very deeply about David and his future. And I think I really love the piece because it expresses rage about a lot of different things, and it's one can think about one's rage through it.